try to put the Knicks pre All-Star portion the schedule in context for me.
The way I would put it was going into the season, Jeff, they were hoping to be one of the better teams. So from that standpoint, they're certainly one of the better teams in the East and in the NBA. So it's a big success because they had a lot of new faces, and despite a pretty significant amount of injuries, they have the second best record in the East. But after the season started, and they were at one point, they were 18-5 and playing so well, they started to think more than just being better, one of the better teams. They started saying, you know what? Why can't we compete for a championship this year? And it was legitimate. They were playing so well. They beat Miami twice by 20. They won in San Antonio. They really looked good. But in the last couple of, say, month and a half or so, they're just playing okay. I mean, they're still playing better than they've had in recent years. But in terms of being a championship contender, right now they're not playing at that level. So they're a little below that. So it all depends on your expectations. The fans are thrilled because, you know, they're a very good team. And they really have played well. And they've got good camaraderie. But in terms of, you know, being a championship contender right now, they've got some work to do before they can be a legitimate championship contender.
Carmelo Anthony's been a guy that, you know, I mean, put 10 people in a room, you'll get, you know, 10 different opinions on Carmelo Anthony. But he's become a New York athlete this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. He's been accepted this year.
He had
booze last year.
Yes, that's right.
Because he was dominating the ball. Ball was sticking with him, and it became a lot of just isolation basketball. He wasn't playing defensively with the type of full-time commitment you want your star player to play like. And the fans let him have it. And they just felt he didn't work hard enough. And whether he wants to deny it or Mike D'Antoni wants to deny it, he was a part of why D'Antoni resigned. And it turned into a mess. Now, it turned out to be a good thing because Woodson has done an excellent job, and Woodson and Carmelo Anthony have established a really good connection. But he took a share of the blame for last year, and some of it was deserved. Now, he came back this year a different guy. His Olympic experience, you know, put him in the mindset of being a better team player, of being a more complete player, and competing for a championship as opposed to competing for a scoring title. And that's not always been the case with him. So he has had a terrific year. But he's also drifted a little bit back recently into dominating the ball more. The ball movement has not been as strong. The defensive commitment has not been as full-time as it was earlier. So he's got to get back to that. But he's not the only one. I mean, the team as a whole is part of it. Overall, his first half of the season has been, you know, fantastic. But you just don't want to see him start to slide back to Carmelo Anthony, the scorer, as opposed to Carmelo Anthony, the winner.
You know, Mike, for whatever reason, whenever I think of the Knicks, I almost automatically end up thinking of the Lakers as well. I don't know why. Maybe two marquee franchises, two historic franchises. But I wonder if New York basketball fans, when they take a look at what's gone on with the Lakers, because I think in a lot of ways the Lakers are still a little bit of a measuring stick. When they see what's gone on with the Lakers with Mike D'Antoni, do people appreciate Mike Woodson?
It's a good question. I think, Jeff, they appreciate Woodson's style of accountability, getting in guys' faces, and really emphasizing defense. Mike D'Antoni, I think, is a terrific coach, but he'll be the first guy to tell you he is not a confrontational type coach. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy that's going to get in a guy's face. And, you know, it's not that he doesn't coach defense. He does. But defense is not his number one thing, whereas Woodson it is. So I think they do like the fact that he's held the star players more accountable. And, you know, seeing the change that Woodson has brought. I don't think they're measuring it too much with what D'Antoni's doing in L.A. We're in uncharted waters with that stuff, the way that's gone on. But I do think they've appreciated the way he's rolled up his sleeves and gotten into guys' faces here.
Okay, I'm going to go off the beaten path here a little bit, but I'm looking at this picture of the Golden State Warriors jerseys. with the sleeves, that apparently it's an alternate jersey design. Yeah, I don't like it. And I'm, it looks, you know what it looks? It looks to me like it should be handball, European handball or something like that. I got to ask you, I mean, you're a basketball guy. You've been around a lot. What do you think of this sleeves on an NBA jersey? It just doesn't look right.
Not a fan, Jeff, but I mean, I'm sure there are many people who've seen what I wear on TV and say, I'm the last guy you should be asking for fashion critique.
But they do. They go down to mid bicep, and as I said, it just looks kind of I don't know. Maybe I'm more of a traditionalist.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 52.
Okay, so we're about the same age. So you know, we're venturing into that territory of these, you know, the old guys who don't like change. So we got to be careful about that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We probably should just leave that topic. As we look around the NBA, as we go into the All-Star break, which team should we be watching, Mike, going into the trade deadline as a team that may make the big move at the deadline, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. I said on the air the other night that I actually think we're going to have more trades. You know, every year we hear about the rumors and, oh, this might happen, that might happen. Then what do we get? We get two minor trades.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's different this year because we're now in a different era. Starting next year, the luxury tax penalties are unbelievable, how punitive they are. So teams are really going to want to unload some major contracts. So I think you're going to see, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta pulls the trigger on a Josh Smith trade, or Utah sends an Al Jefferson or a Paul Millsap somewhere. I don't think Dwight Howard's going to go anywhere, but I think you're going to see a lot of little deals and just trying to shave off some of the salary that they have. And usually it's not big names, but a big name being acquired by, you know, say Brooklyn. Brooklyn's been reportedly in a lot of trade talks. If they get a power forward, I mean, the difference that could make. Say they pick up a Paul Millsap. Brooklyn, that all of a sudden transforms them into a more formidable team because they need that kind of size. So, you know, you get one big name to one of these teams that's right in the smack middle of the playoff race, and it could make a big difference. I can't give you one particular team. You know, again, I think Utah is one that's probably going to make some trades. I think Brooklyn's looking to make some trades. But I just think there's going to be a lot of dealing, at least more than we normally see before the deadline.
Yeah, I think, I'm with you. I think there's going to – I don't know how many, quote-unquote, blockbusters there will be, but I think you'll see a lot of teams addressing need.
Right, exactly. Or just dumping salary.
Or dumping salary, right.